Welcome to Southern Man Western Town.
This is Jeff Lawrence, Southern Man, Western Town. Today on the show, have Kelly Baker called in from Long Island, New York, originally from Arizona. She'll tell you how she got from one place to the other, kind of diagonal lines across the furthest way you can go besides Maine, I guess. She's got an upcoming show in Nashville. She plays all over the New York area, upstate New York, I guess you'd call it, or Long Island area, not exactly New York City, but there too sometimes. She'll tell you all about it. You can go on her social media, on her website. You know how to spell Kelly Baker, but it's Kelly with an I, so K-E-L-I. Anyway, glad to have her on the show. Sorry the podcast came out a little late this week. Been a little bit under the weather, no COVID here, just all the smoke in the air is about to kill me. Yes, the smoke's so thick out here, and it's from the fires out in California and Oregon. We have a few fires here, but all the smoke up here is from there, mainly the Northern California fire. It's so thick you can't even see the mountains. Like, normally you walk around the valley where I live, you can see mountains on all, pretty much all four sides. Definitely, predominantly east and west, you can for sure. But can't see them even. The first day that it came in, it started, I mean, everywhere you were at, it smelled like you were just 2 inches from a campfire with smoke blowing on you. And it was hard to breathe, a lot of problems everybody having. I just got back from the doctor getting mine checked out, but I'm okay. I just got to get this smoke out of the way so we can deal with it. Had a great gig at a Hopkins Brewing Company Sunday, when I played with a new drummer that's going to start filling in some shows, and Doug Wright, of course, my main bass player. Looks like he's going to end up staying on. At first we weren't sure, but now he's going to end up staying on most of the gigs. And it was a great gig, man. It was a great place to go. I'm glad to get back out there. A perfect gig for my band. And we were Levi on the drums kicking ass, Levi Hollerton. Check him out. Check Doug Wright out. And Doug Wright with a W. They got all kinds of other stuff going on too. But anyway, I'm not going to say too much today other than upcoming, right after this interview, right after this intro, you're going to hear a song by Kelly Baker called 6 Feet Under. And then, which is, I got off of Bandcamp. I'm not sure if it's on Spotify and all that yet. It might be. It wasn't, I don't think, when we first did the interview. But she's got other stuff on there. So go over to Spotify and wherever you listen to stuff and check out Kelly Baker. Like, subscribe, follow. And same thing with Southern Man Western Town podcasts. Wherever you're listening to this, really helps if you follow, like, or subscribe, whatever you got to do, but it really does help. And go over to my YouTube channel, Jeff Lawrence Music Lessons and Podcast. Maybe not in that order. Music, podcasts, and lessons, maybe. My new YouTube channel. So I don't have any subscribers right now. Had to get rid of my other ones. They're all still on there. I just don't have any login info or anything for any of my old ones. Kind of sucks because I got like thousands of views on some things. And they're running commercials on them and stuff. And I'm not getting shit. Probably can't even find me. I'm not the only thing they're trying either. Anyway, coming up next, Kelly Baker. Gonna play you out a bit with my Epiphone.
Yes! Oh, ha, ha, ha!
right, joining me right now is Kelly Baker. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. Are you calling me from New York then? Is it upstate New York or just in the city somewhere?
Right outside of New York on Long Island.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. And I was going to ask you right up front, you're from Arizona. How did you end up as far away from Arizona as you can get?
Well, it's pretty close, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just always felt like I was supposed to be here. Even when I was little, it was kind of just in the plan. And one day, I was going to wait a little bit longer, but then the pieces kind of seemed to be presenting themselves that it was an opportunity to go. So I sold everything that I owned and came across the country in a U-Haul and had nothing when I got here and built a life here. And it's been fantastic. So.
Yeah, I can. What part of Arizona were you from?
Downtown Phoenix.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I kind of did that too. I grew up in Atlanta, Georgia, and I knew I wanted to live out west, but I didn't know where. But I ended up in northern Utah. that wasn't what I was aiming for, but that's where I'm at. So I was listening to some of the music. Is Run your latest release or?
That's the latest one that is out, but I'm actually, September 24th, I have a song called 6 Feet Under that I just set up for release, and I'm going to be shooting a video for that, at the end of August with 7E Entertainment. That's Patrizia Iolucci. She did my last video for The Living.
And you said September 24th?
September 24th, yeah.
Oh, okay. Cool. That's not very far off. And then... Are you releasing just like track at a time, or like a lot of people are now, or?
I'm sorry.
Are you releasing just one track at a time now, like a lot of people do, or are you going to do a whole album?
You know, that's kind of how it seems to be going down. And I'll tell you, at when I first started recording with Philip, who I started with and came back to, it was because of financial reasons. You know, like it takes a lot of money when you're backing yourself to put these together, and. I'm only now getting to a point where I can make some bigger moves. But I do like it that way. And it seems to be a smart way to do things for a couple of different reasons. But I plan on doing at least three or four more songs with Philip of what we have in the arsenal. And then putting together either an EP or possibly a full-length album, just depending on where we feel like something.
Yeah, I do the same thing. I'm just starting to do the same thing. I've got like 26 albums out there, but I'm just doing one song at a time from now on. It just kind of makes more sense.
It does. And then there's always something to talk about too, which is nice, you know? So.
Yeah, and it seems like an actual whole album is just turns into a a CD that you maybe could sell at the show, and nobody really buys CDs anymore anyway. And
yeah,
that kind of thing. So yeah, you have to kind of roll with the changes on that kind of thing.
Yeah.
When I started, it was cassettes. I've had to roll with a lot of changes.
Yeah.
I'm an older dude, so yeah, it took me. I started out. We had to actually take the cassette to the radio station type thing.
So. And you walked right in.
What's that?
Did you walk right in yourself with the cassette?
Well, you did. I mean, that's what we used to, in Atlanta, we'd go up to Nashville and go to Music Row, and then you would just walk around Music Row with your cassette, and then you would just walk in and hand it to them. But a lot of them, it said no solicited material or unsolicited material, so you couldn't do it anyway. But the radio stations were a little bit different. They'd usually take it, especially like the college radio stations and stuff, but... Yeah,
Did you have success with it? Did they play it?
Yeah, a lot of times they would. I don't know how it works anymore. I did a little stint as a DJ for a while down in St. George, Utah, and we just programmed the show and just kind of walked out the door. We weren't even there while the show was running, so I don't think it works that way anymore. What about you're pretty well booked too. You got a lot of shows going. I think you got one tomorrow, right?
I do. But, yeah, that's going to be down in Patchogue. Well, So that'll be tomorrow. That's at a new place, and I'm excited for that.
Yeah, and it'll be, this show don't run for 2 weeks, so that that gig will be long gone. It looks like you're booked pretty well through August.
Yeah, I kind of tend to do that. I do it about like a month or two in advance, and you know, some of the bigger things I'm hoping are going to come down the line, at least in space for it. But for all of us out here, and I think, I mean, I can't speak for everybody across the country right now, but it has just been, once since things have opened up, I mean, everybody has been working a lot, because I think that people have been so starved for normalcy and music. And last summer, we got a little bit of a taste of it when things sort of opened up a little bit. People were doing the outdoor things. But now people feel that they, I mean, people are ready for music. And it has been, I mean, it's been wonderful. And a lot of work, but it has been, I mean, I've never worked so much in my life, I don't think.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened to me. And I was kind of like semi-retired from music. I only, you know, I just shoot to do one or two gigs here and there a month. And then, yeah, I'm booked all the way through August now. And got three or four bands calling me, wanting me to audition for them and things like that. But, yeah, it did the same thing for me. But I don't know. It looks like things are kind of iffy again now. People are getting sick again, I guess.
Yeah.
So I don't
know. So that's, you know, you'll see.
Yeah, I'm hoping not to. I don't even know if I want to book September and October just to have it closed down. Out here in Utah, you got a lot of people that are just, I don't know, it's about half and half of whether they're going to get the vaccine or not, so you never really know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and I have a lot of people that listen to the show up in New York. I've got a lot of people in New York on the show, so they'll listen and hopefully have some people come out to some of your shows there.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, I rarely, even though I record this show up in Utah, it's rarely it's not really a Utah show. I have a couple of people on from Utah, but usually they're from back east, New York, Boston, Rhode Island, places like that, all in Europe and stuff, too.
I met somebody from Utah last week, actually. I was actually in Nashville for a conference. They did the NAMM summer show down there. They do a big one in Anaheim in January. And I met a guitar maker from Utah. His story is very inspiring, and it's called Rask Guitars.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I've seen that on Instagram. I don't know if I know them, but
yeah,
there's a couple. There's actually a pretty decent music scene here. People don't really realize that there's, I don't know if there's a certain like sound that they have, like a lot, you know, like you got the Seattle sound and all that. I don't think we really have that here, but it's pretty decent music scene.
Mm-hmm.
What about where you're at? Do you find yourself having to go up into the city a lot, or is there a lot of places on Long Island?
I mean, I have played in the city, and I would like to play in the city more. Right now, it's kind of weird. Like, right now I might be doing 4, maybe 5 shows a week.
Yep.
And trucking into the city is a little bit of a different animal. I tend to put all my gear together myself and everything, and so you know, there's factors that come with the city, like parking and loading equipment and all that stuff, which I learned to do, but when I'm doing so much at some time, and there's a lot around here, it's just like so nonstop. So like doing the closer things when I'm booked so much, that is kind of helpful, but I think once the summer, settles down, then, we're going to have more time. Like, I'm going to be putting an actual band together behind me, hopefully expanding to different areas, and reaching new audiences and more into the city also.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you about too. You do mainly solo shows right now, right?
Yeah.
And but you plan on doing more with band, you said, in the future?
I like to do both. You know, and that was another thing with COVID is that it was a lot easier if you were able to accompany yourself with all of the restrictions. I mean, if you're coming with a full band, that was tough. You know, if you were a drummer, you're having a hard time. But if you were playing a guitar and to accompany yourself, you were able to kind of work. So that's still, it's not so much the case right now, but that's kind of what was happening. I was putting together a big band right before the pandemic happened, and it just wasn't feasible, you know. So now I'm back into exploring that. I've got some people that I'm looking to put together as soon as I think we all get to catch our breath in the fall.
Right. Now, I was also reading you're in a Rolling Stones cover band. Are you still doing that, or?
I am.
Now what are you doing? Are you the main vocalist or backup or?
I do backup, and it's just so much fun.
Okay.
I mean, these guys are the real deal, and they do some bigger things, and it's so fun to just get up there. There's another dancer. We're like a backup. We do backup dancing and singing, and just we're just back there getting rowdy, you know. And it's just so much fun.
Do you guys do any of the casinos up in like the upstate New York? There's like casinos and stuff, right?
You know, here's the thing. I love casinos, and since I moved to New York, I have not been to one. But that's actually a great idea.
Yeah, I was thinking the Rolling Stones thing would work good at that. Those.
That would be a great idea because I mean, man, they are fantastic, and I love playing blackjack. But I haven't.
Yeah, I'm not too far from Vegas. I may end up there pretty soon, too. Seems like that's where all the other old guitar players go. either there or Nashville, and I've already done Nashville. I don't want to go back there.
Nashville's a rowdy place. Rowdy, rowdy.
Yeah.
I was able to sing when I was there. You know, my friend, he booked a couple venues, and he was playing a place called Lucky Bastard, so I was able to get up and sing on stage with his band for a little bit, and that was fun.
I moved to Nashville way back in like 1992, I think it was. It may have been 93, 94, somewhere in there. But it was a lot different then. Everybody was trying to be Garth Brooks and stuff, and it was crazy. It kind of sets you up to fail. I got a gig right off as a songwriter there where they were paying me to write songs, but I had to come in the middle of the day, like 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., and write with other people that I didn't know, and it kind of broke the day up where I couldn't actually, like, have a regular job, and so it made it to where I couldn't survive. They didn't pay you much either. It was like $100 a week. Yeah. It kind of ended up back in Georgia pretty quick. But, yeah, now all the rock singers and stuff live there. It's kind of getting crazy. What about... That's what I want to ask you about too. Is what genre do you feel like your music falls under? It's kind of there's a lot going on in it. I was listening to it, and I kind of hear, you know, I definitely hear some pop, but I also hear some other stuff going on too.
I think it's kind of fall. It's always kind of hard to classify. I find it a lot in the blues rock realm, where I'm able to really let loose with a band behind me. I really like doing like the old school like. And I love singing a lot of rock and roll. I do take some country into it as well. I'm not, you know, like I love Chris Stapleton. I think he's an amazing songwriter.
Yep.
And it's so funny because I actually went to a Christian high school in Phoenix, and we were not allowed to listen to secular music. So there's a certain chunk of time where I know every single country song. It's kind of funny. So, you know, that kind of goes in as well. I have an appreciation for that. And because of that, I have a big appreciation for gospel too. You know, that's how, you know, those gospel tones at the end of the song Run, when I was hearing it in production, when we're going through, I kept hearing that song like, oh, what a friend we have in Jesus.
I'm like, Oh, yeah.
I wanted it to be like, almost like you're walking into a room, like you're walking down a hall and you hear something, and then you walk into a room and you walk back out again.
Okay,
yeah,
yeah.
Wouldn't that be kind of interesting if we just threw that on the track as just a like a one-off for kicks, you know? So we did, and it turned. And actually, when we recorded it, that part of it, I think I did on my phone. We were in the studio, but we were going to actually do it later, and the pandemic hit. So he just took that phone recording and dumped it in the end. So that's my first time ever singing it. He had never really heard the song, and it turned out pretty cool. He just went by how it sounded like it was going to go, and we just tacked that on to the end of Run. So all of those things, all of those genres kind of, I lean into all of those, I guess.
Yeah, that's cool. So, yeah, so what about, what's like a couple of your top influences vocally?
Vocal. You know what I really dig is Susan Tedeschi. And I actually had the pleasure of seeing her last weekend in New Jersey, the Tedeschi Truck Band.
Yep.
They are amazing. And I have her guitar pick that they threw, and I played with that at my show on Friday night, which was cool.
Oh, yeah.
She is amazing. And her husband, Derek Trux, is like, the things that he does with turning the guitar into emotion is just like art.
Yeah,
you know,
not sorry to interrupt, but growing up in Georgia, it was funny. I would go see Derek Trux play when he was like 9 years old. He would play this place called the Cotton Club. His dad was in the Allman Brothers. He would kind of play behind him and book it. But yeah, he was playing like he does now back then when he was 9 years old, selling out shows. But yeah. I don't hear too many people say they're influenced by her, but by Susan, but I definitely up my alley. I like that stuff.
It's just, what a powerful woman. I love Bonnie Raitt. Bonnie Raitt's self-titled album.
Yeah, I could hear a little bit of that in your music, actually. So do you normally, do you write everything yourself, or do you have a co-writer, or?
I write everything myself.
Okay, that's cool.
Everything I put out. You know, I've been approached by writers, and not to say that I wouldn't explore that, but I just have not at this point. And what I have put out, my newer stuff, I would say in the past 3 years, because I've done music on and off throughout my life, and some of the stuff that you'll find if you dig is not really a representation of who I am now. But once I stopped kind of caring what people thought, and I, you know, when I got a little more daring with my lyrics, because I was writing all these things, but it was a lot like, what are people going to think of me if I'm this open with myself? And once I said, I don't really care.
Yeah, that's the best way to do it.
Yeah, that's when I got things got kind of interesting. And so I kind of like that, but I'm not opposed to working with another writer at all, but I do like writing my own music.
Yeah, that's cool. And you do it mainly on an acoustic guitar.
Yeah.
For my guitar nerd listeners, I got a lot. What's your guitar? What's your go-to guitar that you use?
So when I'm playing shows, and but the easy go-to, the pickup guitar, if you ask me to play a song for you, it's going to be my Taylor GS Mini. But what I'm really loving right now is my Telecaster.
Oh, okay.
But
yeah.
You know, but it's just standard Telecaster, but I love it.
Yep.
I also have a Les Paul, but the Telecaster, you know, it's like I feel like if I brought that to a solo gig, it might not fly as well. So you tend to see me more with the Taylor, but I definitely love playing an electric guitar.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. I'm Telecaster Les Paul right now. I'm kind of transitioning into the Gibson 335 area, but I.
Oh, there you go.
Haven't got the tone I want yet out of the amp with the guitar. It's a constant search. Before I let you go, I know I've kept you a while here. I have a lot of people that listen from like Ireland and pretty much anywhere where they speak English, they listen to the show. This show's not huge, but there's 4,000 or 5,000 listeners each time. A lot of them are Australia and places like that. And what I ask people sometimes is to point. If they could point to one song, like on Spotify, that kind of gives an idea of what you're about, which one would it be? I know that's hard, but that's what a lot of people do. Like when they'll hear you over in Australia, they'll just go over to Spotify, check out one song. If they like it, they'll keep listening. If they don't, they won't. So,
right.
What's kind of one song you would think to steer them towards? And I'll play it on the show, whichever one you say.
That's a tough one because I like them all for different reasons.
Right.
So if you want to talk about as far as me personally, that would be Red Winter. That's the most, and lyrically, which you can find, and I encourage, if you're listening to it, to pull up those lyrics because I do have them. You could type in Red Winter, Kelly Baker, and as you're going through, and you could see what I'm talking about because that's the most personal song I've ever written. And that was one of the first songs I wrote. And that's the first song I recorded with my producer. And when I'm talking about being daring, and things that, might make my grandparents flip out, that's the song. But you know what? And that was one of the things that I just took all these emotions that I was having, and I just kind of threw it down on paper. I don't think it took me more than 10 minutes to write that song, and it's a very complicated song. So if you want to know what's personal, that would be a good start.
And that's Red Winter, you said?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's some dirty words in there, just so you know. So.
Yeah, definitely.
Not for the children. Yeah. But, you know.
I definitely listened to that one. I like Cathedral a lot. That's the one I kind of like. But
that's another personal one.
But it seems like Run seems to have the most listens right now.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I'll play Red Winter on the show and see how it goes. Usually, that's the reason why I do this show. I try to catch people as they're kind of, you know, not really just starting out, but you know what I mean. And I try to introduce people to that may not have heard you before to people. So try to connect it together. So hopefully,
and I'll send you 6 Feet Under as well. There's a private link to that. You're more than welcome to play that on the show.
Okay, yeah, that would work. Because sometimes I play two songs. It just depends.
And you could choose what you like. And that's another one. And you'll see, kind of, as I'm progressing in my production, how much more comfortable Philip and I are getting. But that's a beautiful song. And I feel, honestly, like a lot of my stuff could work well for like licensing and sync. It's just very atmospheric and kind of sets a tone for the room. So this song I'm releasing definitely does that also.
Yeah, definitely. You just, if you want to, just text it over to the number that I called you on.
Yeah, sure.
And then where can everybody find you? Like, I came across you on Instagram, I believe. And you got a link tree on there that kind of connects to everything. But if you want to give all your media to everyone.
Mm-hmm. So my website is kellybaker.com. You know, it's Kelly with an I. People are listening. Kellybaker.com. And then I try to keep everything kind of consistent with my handle. So if you look up Kelly Baker Music, you can find me on Instagram. That's my handle. On Facebook and Twitter. And now I'm going to the TikTok game like everybody else. So I try to keep that consistent so you can find me where you want to find me. So Kelly Baker Music and pretty much everything.
I can't get on TikTok. My kids won't let me.
They won't let you?
No. They refuse to let me on there. I think if you go to Kelly Baker Music on Instagram, hit that link tree thing, it'll give you, you know, it'll show all the podcasts you're on, your YouTube videos and everything, I think.
Yes.
Yeah, so it might be the easiest way. But, I appreciate you calling me. I know it's 2 hours time difference, but I appreciate you making the time to call into the show. And like I said, it'll be out in about 2 weeks. Usually goes out on Spotify, and then it'll hit Apple and everything else the day after. But I'll shoot you over the Spotify link to this number I called you on, and we'll be out there.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, and thank you for choosing me. I appreciate it.
Yep, and we'll talk to you. We'll have you back on when you get some more music out and stuff, and I hope everybody in the New York area, I got a lot of people that listen up there. My buddy Scott Bravo is up there, and he'll maybe some of those people go out to your shows.
That would be awesome.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. Thanks for calling.
Thank you, my friend. Take care.
See you later.
This is so much better. It's a lot like home.
Well, Prot, I was hoping you'd tell me more about home.
Well, what would you like to know?
Well, do you have a family on KPAX?
It doesn't work on KPAX the same way it works here, Mark. On KPAX, we don't have families in the way that you think of them. In fact, family would be a non sequitur on our planet, as it would on most others.
In other words, you never knew your parents.
On K-Pax, children are not raised by their biological parents, Mark, but by everyone. They circulate among us, learning from one and then another.
Do you have a child?
No.
Do you have a wife waiting back for you on K-Pax?
Mark. You are not really listening to what I'm saying to you, are you? We do not have marriage on K-Pax. There are no wives. There are no husbands. There are no families.
I see. So, what about societal structure? Government?
No, there's no need for one.
Well, you have no laws?
No laws, no lawyers.
How do you know right from wrong?
Every being in the universe knows right from wrong, Mark.
But what if... if someone did do something wrong, committed murder or a rape, how would you punish them?
Let me tell you something, Mark. You humans, most of you, subscribe to this policy of an eye for an eye, a life for a life, which is known throughout the universe for its stupidity. Even your Buddha and your Christ had quite a different vision, but nobody's paid much attention to them, not even the Buddhists or the Christians. You humans, sometimes it's hard to imagine how you've made it this far.
Hope you enjoyed my interview with Kelly Baker. I know I did. Go ahead and check out all her music on Spotify, iTunes, Bandcamp, or where you want to go, her website, whatever. Check her out live if you're in the Northeast. And if you're in that one show in Nashville, you have to check it out. Go over to Instagram. Kelly with an I. Kelly Baker. Thanks for being on the show. As far as my next gig, Jeff Lawrence and Warhorse coming up on the 21st at Funk and Dive. Opening up for Balls Capone. The 22nd, and I'll be up in Park Silly Market playing outside with Jeff Lawrence Group, and hope to see you there if you're in the Utah area, northern Utah area. The smoke leaves, I'll be able to sing better at these shows. But anyway, check out all my music, J.S. Lawrence or Jeff Lawrence, under on Spotify and iTunes and stuff as well as this podcast, Southern Man Western Town, can be listened to on all of the platforms, Spotify and all that stuff. Please leave a one-time donation at venmo.com/jeff-lawrence-48. The four-digit number they may ask for is 1353. Or you can just support the show right off of anchor.fm/jeff-lawrence, where I record the podcast. You can do $2 a month. You'd be kicking ass. I really appreciate it. Anyway, thanks again to Kelly Baker. I'm not going to keep you guys today. Just a nice interview, nice song, and hope everybody, if you feel the need, get vaccinated. I know I did. I don't want to debate on it. It's getting nuts. All I know is I'm glad I did it, and I guess we're going to have to wear a mask again, so there you go. That's the way it is. All right. Same bat channel next time. Talk to you guys later. Thank you.
In case I don't see you. Good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
La, la, la.